old 1960s world that said that's a psychiatric hospital. Medicaid won't pay.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, a member of President Trump's committee to fight opioid abuse, outlining one of the problems in getting better drug treatment for opioid addicts across the U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said the U.S. has an unprecedented drug crisis. Sessions gave remarks on the opioid epidemic today, saying the problem started with overprescribing of painkillers. U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis seeking diplomacy when dealing with North Korea. Mattis visited the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea today, where he was briefed by the South Korean defense minister. Mattis says the U.S. doesn't want war with North Korea, just a denuclearized Korean peninsula. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello? Anyone there?
Hey! United Healthcare heading your way!
Thank goodness.
Lost in the giant Medicare maze?
It's so complicated.
No worries. United Healthcare has the people, tools, and plans to get you through it, including the only Medicare plans with the AARP name.
I'm so glad you found me.
Need to find a Medicare plan? Get help now at UHCMedicare.com. AARP Medicare plans from United Healthcare. United Healthcare pays royalty fees to AARP. AARP is not an insurer.
There are certain people you can always trust. Your grandma, your grandma's friends, lifeguards, action movie heroes who tell you to trust them. But there's no one you can trust more than your doctor. And when it comes to their own frequent heartburn, doctors and pharmacists trust the power of the purple pill, Nexium 24-Hour. And when you choose Nexium 24-Hour, you'll see why. When it comes to heartburn, trust the brand doctors trust, Nexium 24-Hour. May take 1 to 4 days, use as directed.
A group of congresswomen are saying they want to revise the laws on Capitol Hill when it comes to sexual harassment. Correspondent Chris Barnes takes a look.
Like so many of you, I have a Me Too story.
That's Representative Jackie Speier of California, who with fellow Democrat Brenda Lawrence of Michigan will introduce a bill next week aimed at overhauling the Office of Compliance, which is supposed to handle complaints and enforce workplace protection laws for Capitol Hill. Speier says she was sexually harassed by a superior when she was a congressional staffer years ago.
So I know what it's like to keep these things hidden.
The women also launching an online campaign called Me Too Congress, urging others on Capitol Hill to speak up. I'm Chris Barnes.
Tiger Woods pleading guilty to charges of reckless driving. Woods was arrested in Jupiter on May 29th when police found him asleep at the wheel of a Mercedes. A toxicology report showed that Woods had several drugs in his system, including marijuana, Xanax, and Vicodin. This is USA Radio News.
Franklin Graham calls it a must-see.
Don't you dare tell me about the love and the compassion of your so-called God.
Mike Huckabee calls it a giant step forward for the faith-based genre.
Do you believe that God hears?
God always answers prayer.
Jerry Falwell Jr. says Let There Be Light offers forgiveness and hope when it's needed most. Kevin Sorbo and Sean Hannity present the most anticipated Christian movie of the year. Let There Be Light. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. Find a theater at LetThereBeLightMovie.com.
President Trump promised he was going to reveal the JFK files, and now he's not revealing all of them, but some of them. Here's a report.
President Trump last night went along with FBI and CIA requests to withhold thousands of pages of classified documents. They include a file on the chief of the CIA's Dallas office in November 1963. Also held back is a dossier on a Dallas businessman who met with nightclub owner Jack Ruby shortly before Ruby shot and killed Kennedy assassin Lee Harvey Oswald. The withheld files could be made public next April unless the intelligence agencies again convince Trump to keep the documents secret. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
Russia is apparently joining the fray when it comes to intercontinental ballistic missile testing. Here's correspondent Bill Zinfer.
Russia's TASS news agency confirms that Russia conducted a series of tests on Thursday night, launching three intercontinental ballistic missiles from nuclear-powered submarines and a fourth from the Plesetsk Cosmodrome in northern Russia. President Vladimir Putin personally oversaw the testing. TASS reports that all practice targets were successfully destroyed.
NASA scientists are confirming they have found what they believe to be the first interstellar object to pass through our galaxy. NASA's Center for Near-Earth Object Studies released a statement confirming what they call A2017U1, an object they say does not act like anything in our solar system. The object passed by Earth on October 14th at a distance about 60 times the distance to the moon. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Hello. Well, it's Friday afternoon, and we'll be with you in a few minutes with the sports guys. But let me tell you about the weather. Today, of course, was a beautiful fall day, and tomorrow we should have about the same. By the way, tonight shouldn't get down to freezing, but the low will be around 39 degrees, and tomorrow mostly sunny, high about 67 degrees. But I think this is the weekend to get the plants in if you haven't done it. Tomorrow night, expect some rain, low of about 58 degrees, but the chance of precipitation is about 80%. Not much, maybe a tenth or a quarter of an inch possible, so there's not going to be a real soaking rain. On Sunday, again, rain and possibly a thunderstorm. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall. The temperature will be about 65 degrees, but the chance of rain is about 90%, so that's pretty much the fact that we're going to have rain on Sunday. And again, it could be 3/4 to an inch of rain, so you don't have to water the plants tomorrow. They should be fine if you don't bring them in. But again, Sunday night rain could be heavy. Monday, another chance of rain before 10 a.m. in the morning. Again, a chance of precipitation about 40%. And Tuesday should be sunny, about a high of about 60 degrees. So in any event, the best day of the weekend will be tomorrow. And so take advantage of it and try to get that outside work done. And Bill, I'm assuming that you've done everything you need to do and your boat is secure for the winter.
Well, not yet. We've got it ready to come out of the water. When I called the marina this morning, I got an answering machine that said, leave a message. We think the boat's coming out of the water early next week, but everything's been winterized that could freeze. Everything has been taken off that could freeze. And now it's really just a question of giving it a good cleaning, putting a good coat of wax and polish on it to protect the systems that are exposed.
So in other words, this is all work. You no longer can, even if it turns out to be 80 degrees for 3 days, you're not going to be able to take off and go sailing.
Well, I don't think I'll be sailing, but Pat, it's not work, it's therapy.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You know how some people have very bizarre tastes. They root for the Mets. They think the Phillies are going to win the World Series every
Or they
year.
Think the Cubs are going to do it for a second time,
right.
Two in a row.
Well, I like to go down and get in the marina and work on my boat. So it can be 40 degrees, and I'm still fixing this and rewiring that. I do have a water pump that seems to have a need to have the electrical connections redone. Apparently, I didn't do a good enough job because one of the contacts seems to have gone bad somehow. So I'll be unclipping, cutting, and recrimping, and then resealing. Meanwhile, I will tell you that I have indulged myself with a new chart plotter, which has a built-in GPS. The GPS, their global positioning system, will display on a chart plotter that instead of being a 3-inch screen will now be a 7-inch screen. And you know, the reason for me going from a 3-inch screen to a 7-inch screen has nothing to do with technology and everything to do with a pair of 1951-era eyeballs. So the problem is that either marine electronics manufacturers are going to have to start including reading glasses along with the instruction manual, or I simply had to get a bigger screen.
What a good excuse.
It was, and not only that, it was on sale. But you know, folks, technology is amazing now. When I first got into this, well, we had sonar, we had depth sound, we told you how much water was under the keel. Now they're so good, and the technology has advanced so much that You can even see what type of bottom it is. Is it muddy? Is it sandy? How thick it is? Is it hard rock? Depending on the kind of return you get that's shown on a display.
Now, how deep can that go?
The system that I have purchased and will install a new transducer on, instead of going down just 200 feet, will now go down almost 5,000 feet.
Wow. So you would be able to, if you're out, you would be able to see what's down
in the ocean.
In the ocean, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and up to 5,000 feet?
Well, yeah, that's a mile. Now,
wow.
A lot of people use this as fish finders because you can actually see groups of fish displayed, the actual bodies of the fish or schools of fish displayed on the bottom. So for people who like to fish, this is instead of looking to see where the seabirds are and heading there, and because seabirds live on fish, now what you can do is use it as a clue on the horizon and then get a good display on the bottom once you get to that general area and see where the fish are.
Well, it seems to me, how well delineated is what is on the bottom? For example, is this going to be, I would assume, and it's been many, many years since I did any real scuba diving, and at one point I was going to work with a group who was doing wreck diving. But this must be a huge benefit for people doing wreck diving and, looking for, if you're ever in Key West, I mean, there's some fascinating things about the Spanish galleons that were lost in, between Puerto Rico, Cuba, and South Florida, and some of the finds that were made, and very difficult to find that. And now I'm assuming, how deep are some of those waters? More than a mile?
Well, it depends. Wreck diving, you should be able to detect a wreck using this system, because it's going to appear as an anomaly, as a large object on the bottom. There's a YouTube video of this particular system with a specific transponder, which is, of course, the top of the line. And they were actually able to sail over a ship that had been sunk to provide kind of an artificial reef for fish. Somewhere off, I think, either Cape May or Cape Henlopen, which, of course, is off southern Delaware. And they're actually able to see the outline of the ship. You see the contours. You don't get the detail like you would with an underwater camera. Remember, the water is murky. But what this does is it gives you an idea of where fish are, where obstructions are. I have a friend and client who for many years was a wreck diver, and he had even gone to some of the submarines that were sunk off our shores here in New Jersey and Connecticut and Delaware during World War II. And despite the fact that these are war graves and technically should remain undisturbed, some people have actually entered into them and removed objects, which I understand is illegal. When you come upon a sunken ship, particularly a warship, that remains the property of whatever government sent it there.
Well, not necessarily, because there's a very interesting case about the divers who were going after the Spanish gold that was being taken back from the New World to Spain. And that, in fact, there was a case, I know the attorney down in Key West, who ended up taking the case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, because the question was who actually was entitled to retain what they were, the gold that they got from the ship. And it was claimed, of course, it was claimed by the divers who found it, this is a fascinating case. It was claimed by the divers. It was claimed by the state of Florida because it was found off of within Florida territorial waters. And
probably claimed by the Spanish government as well.
I'm not sure the Spanish government, but I think the U.S. government. In any event, the case went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the divers won.
Oh, that's great.
Yep.
Because remember, there's a provision in a lot of maritime law that if something has been abandoned or left and you are the one who is the salver, you salvage it, it now belongs to you. I don't know exactly what the law is, but I think that's how title
right.
works.
Well, and of course, I think there's a difference between, submarines that are sunk, after World War II, that, all of the sailors, whether they were German or American or British or any other country, they died. I think there would be a different feeling about, people desecrating that. And certainly, anyway, we're getting off topic since we shouldn't be talking about sailing at this time of year when we're talking about the World Series and what's happening with baseball, we have hockey, and of course we have football.
Yeah. Well, Pat, let me ask the question that I think all of our listeners really want to know. How will the Packers manage without the great Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I was at the game on Sunday. In fact, I was at the University of Wisconsin game on Saturday. Beautiful weather, 78 degrees. They played Maryland. Of course, the stands were absolutely full, except not all the student section, which was surprising to me. But in any event, a great game. Wisconsin won. Interesting, they have a left-handed quarterback. And New Jersey has to be really proud because they have this terrific running back. His name is Taylor. I think his first name is Jason Taylor, I believe. And he's from Salem, New Jersey. And he's a true freshman. They were going to redshirt him this year, but he was so good that they really couldn't. And he's really fast and was very, very impressive. And I hear is a terrific young man. And of course, since being in Wisconsin, there aren't a whole lot of good things that are said about New Jersey. So it was really great to hear everybody complimenting him. And apparently, he had initially committed to Rutgers. But boy, that's a real Rutgers loss.
I would think.
And I'm not sure how these commitments. They must be some kind of pre-commitments. They obviously don't sign. They can change their mind. But this is an opportunity for this young man to perhaps really play in some postseason to get noticed. Hopefully, he won't be hurt. I think he's a bit small, but maybe for the professionals. But who knows? But it was really fun to watch him. I won't say that the Packer game, which I attended on Sunday, had the best seats I've ever had. 50-yard line, about 57 rows up. I mean, terrific seats.
Great view.
Although it was raining and in the 40s. So it was just
Packer weather.
No, I'd actually, Packer weather is usually colder, but not rain. You expect a little snow, perhaps. But in any event, it was very interesting because I was sitting around people who'd had, these were all season ticket holders who most of them had, they were ticket holders the second generation. I mean, their parents had the tickets, and now, they're down. The fellow next to me comes in fairly regularly from Colorado. And, in fact, the people on the other side, it was really, they were interesting. They were there for their first Packer game, and the husband said he's been a Packer fan since he was 5. And so I said, well, where did you grow up in Wisconsin? He said, no, I've never been in Wisconsin before. I grew up in Colorado. He said, I've just always been a Packer fan. So it's fun. It was really fun. And I will say that I think Huntley, there was a good reception for him. He looked good on his feet. The Packers lost, and I'm telling you, I think that it was a really poorly called game by McCarthy. I realize that he wanted to be conservative, but I think he was too conservative. And the defense can also be blamed, although when Breeze turned over the football a couple times, you know, the Packer offense just couldn't do anything with it. Huntley ran in a touchdown. First half looked very promising, but New Orleans had the Packers, you know, the second half they really had them, and just the Packers didn't do much of anything. And, of course, at the end, and it was unfortunate, they were calling such a conservative game. As I recall, it was three and out the last couple drives, and then Huntley threw an interception. But you really couldn't blame him for the loss. On the other hand, I think what it showed, and I'm going on and on, but I think really what it showed is that Rodgers has been carrying the team all year.
That's very true. When you have somebody like Aaron Rodgers, he just makes everybody else around him that much better. The receivers, the running backs, and as long as he gets the pass protection, the one thing he can't help, he's going to make the plays. And even with mediocre pass protection, he gets rid of the ball so quickly, and
he runs around in the backfield.
And so the offensive line doesn't have to be as talented as perhaps we'd all like to see. So, you know, it's become an interesting riddle. I think the Green Bay Packers are a riddle now. What can they do? How good are they without Aaron Rodgers?
Well,
we're going to find out.
So far, not very. I mean, the when Aaron went down, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, you know, I mean, to bring Huntley in at that time, I think everybody recognized that it was going to be a problem. As I said, I was not at all pleased, and I think other people share my view that McCarthy did not call a good game. He was too conservative. I think the Packers could have, they really could have won that game. It was not the kind of game where, you know, by the second quarter you're sitting there saying, oh my God, this is a loss. So that was really disappointing. I really wanted to see Drew Brees. And because I'm not so sure how much longer he'll be playing.
Well,
so,
he's a talented guy, and remember, he made the New Orleans Saints what they are. Remember when they were the Aints instead of the Saints?
And although there, as I said, he threw two interceptions that, you know, if the Packers could have only done something with them, you know, they really would have been ahead. But I think that Huntley will be given more of a chance. I mean, at first when Rodgers went down, there was a lot of talk about maybe bringing Tony Romo back or Kaepernick. I think that will not happen in Wisconsin.
I didn't think that would happen in Green Bay.
Well, you know, after talking to people out there, I didn't think it would happen either. And, of course, Kaepernick was the one who played such a phenomenal game in that playoff game a few years ago. I mean, he just, I remember Woodson, who was one of my favorites. I mean, you know, they just couldn't stop Kaepernick. And I think that led to Woodson's departure from the Packers, to say the very least. But, you know, I want to give Huntley more of an opportunity. I will tell you that my husband Dave thinks the season is over. The Packers are lucky. They have a bye this week, so that will give them, you know, 2 weeks to see if they can start pulling it together. And there have been some surprising losses, though. The week before, not this past weekend, New Orleans played the Packers, but the weekend before they played Detroit and really walked all over Detroit, and Detroit has been looking good. But let's talk about your Eagles, because you have to be pleasantly surprised.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's been a funny sports year. Pleasantly surprised about the Yankees, although disappointed to see Joe Girardi part. Very pleasantly surprised about the Philadelphia Eagles, who I picked to be an 8-8 team this year. And, well, they, you know, they're from Philly. They still have that shot. But I would never believe they were 6-1 here on November 27th. Now, the Eagles had a very slow start against Washington Monday night. It was not the kind of Eagle team that you would like to have seen. Lots of penalties, lots of broken plays, lots of missed assignments in the first quarter, and Washington was up. And then Carson Wentz woke up, found Ertz, found Nelson Aguilar, and doesn't seem to be missing Jordan Matthews, because he found Alshon Jeffries. We had some very nice catches by Aguilar, who's beginning to come into his own. He's finally grown into being the receiver everybody thought the number one draft pick 3 years ago would be. And he's learned how to catch the ball. He's learned how to get some distance between himself. Plus, I think Alshon Jeffries being double covered has opened the world up for Ertz, Selleck, and for Nelson Aguilar. Further, the Eagles have managed to develop a running game with Blount. And also, defenses have to be careful, because Carson Wentz is perfectly capable of dropping back in the pocket, not seeing anybody, and taking advantage of the fact that the defensive backs have been drawn downfield and getting 10 or 12 yards on that crucial first down.
You know, that really, you know, that is, and I like to see that. You know, I was a little concerned that when Huntley ran, now he made a touchdown, which was, and it was very interesting, because he got down to about, 1 yard, 1 yard line, and it looked like he was going to go out, and he just did this little, I don't know, flippy thing, and was able to make the touchdown. That was really good to see. On the other hand, you know, you don't want him taking a lot of hits, and so far, I don't think he's really learned to slide. I think that was one of the things that Rodgers learned after a time, was to slide. But you know, we've been so banged up. And yet, you know, some of the guys that were back in the line, you know, it should have been just a game that was played better. The strategy was, you know, just off. And I think that New Orleans took real advantage of that in the second half.
Well, yeah, but remember something, Pat. On any given Sunday, any team can beat any other team. That's why I'm a little nervous this week about the Eagles being complacent. The 0-7 49ers are going to be kicking off at 1 o'clock at Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles have a real shot at going 7-1, and but you never know. I mean, everybody thought the Jets were going to be a dumpster fire this year, and the Giants were going to be the team to beat or compete with the Cowboys.
I really thought the Cowboys would be the team to beat this year.
And between the injuries and the suspension and everything else that we've got going on in Dallas and the dissension in the
Let me ask you, was there finally the suspension?
Yeah.
Was Elliott finally suspended? Because I didn't...
The news that I got was he's now suspended. I think he comes back to play the Eagles right at the end of the season.
So he was suspended for how many games?
I think 6 or 8 games.
Well, originally it was supposed to be 6.
Right. I think it's either 6 or maybe it's 5. Pat, I correct myself. But the end result here.
Well, that's going to be significant, because he
Dallas,
is really.
Yeah, he's a very
he's
important
been doing,
part of the team.
He has been so, you know, really so good this year. I've been watching him, and he's really been so helpful.
But you know, that's life, and that's football. Things, you know, the moving finger having writ moves on. And we now have plenty of more football to watch. We're right at the halfway point of the season after this weekend. To give out report cards.
I wish John was here to talk about the Giants.
They're 1-6 and 1-5. And you know the Giants. Are
they
tough.
1-6 or 1-5?
Pardon me.
Are they 1-6 or 1-5?
I think they're 1-5 now. They'll be going into, but I forget who they play this weekend. But I know it's another tough opponent. The Jets play the Bills this weekend, and I think the Jets are going to fall back to earth. They never should have lost that game to the Dolphins in the last couple of minutes. Muhammad Wilkinson intercepted a pass that was being thrown by the Dolphin quarterback from the Dolphins 2 and managed to return it to the 3 or the 4 yard line when the ball was tipped. And I thought the Jets would maintain their 14-point lead, which they had after that great play by Muhammad Wilkerson, who had kind of not been a factor in the prior games. And I thought the Jets would be 4-3 rather than 3-4. Well, the Jets play the Bills now. The Bills are in second place. The Jets have managed to find their way to last place. But remember, we were all going to be happy if the Jets either went 0-16 or won 3 or 4 games and tanked so that they could get a good draft choice. But fortunately or unfortunately, they pulled themselves together. They've been fun to watch. They've been exciting. Josh McGowan's been a great quarterback for them. And everybody sees this as another learning year for Kristen Hardenberger, who came out of Penn State. So now the Jets have the ability to provide some excitement. Everybody who said they were going to tank in order to get the number one draft pick, that's not the way the game works. That's not the way the game works in the locker room. Teams just don't give up, particularly when you've got a fired-up guy like a Muhammad Wilkerson or a pro like Josh McGowan who can provide a great example. And remember also, when teams tank, it's not just the coach. There are no guaranteed contracts in the NFL, as I understand it, based on their CBA. So what happens is that these players may not find themselves playing in the NFL the next year if they have a bad season.
That's
true.
There's
no good reason to keep them. The other thing, too.
And even when they're, there were some, for example, there were some Packers. I remember one, for example, I loved Woodson and thought they let him go too early. You understand when they had Aaron Rodgers that they didn't want, they were going to lose him if they didn't do something that year with Favre. But there have been a few times where, I think his name is Cook. He made that spectacular catch last year. Was it against Dallas? He won the game. Oh, I think so. I think it was the Cowboy game. Spectacular catch. He won the game for the Packers, and I don't remember now who he's playing with, but he's not with the Packers any longer. So anyway, why don't we play some commercials?
I think that would be a great idea, Pat. No.
And then we'll come back, and maybe or maybe not, we'll see the John.
Our listeners will just have to wonder.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call to...
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, we're back, and so far we haven't seen John Manfreda. He
promised he would be here right at the end. Let's hope he's not locked out again, Pat, like
so
I was.
What happens with the World Series? I mean, I guess neither one of us is really enthusiastic about the, you know, who's playing.
I can't get wound up about the Dodgers. I can't get wound up about
the Astros. No.
They're just not my teams. You know, the Dodgers had a great season. They kind of cooled off a little bit, and then they got red hot again. I just hope it goes 7 days and seven games, rather, and everybody has a great time watching who are the fans. But, you know, baseball's starting to get a little bit like hockey. If your team's out, you don't watch.
Well, and as I said, I think, and I can't believe it, but it's almost the same thing with Dave. I mean, he just thinks that, you know, since the football season is over, should he really waste his Sundays? You know, since his team is out, football is over, so should he waste his Sundays trying to see, you know, who else might be, you know, doing it? And well, I can't remember.
That's an intensely personal choice, isn't it? It's almost out there with who to marry.
But I wonder if in some ways, because there really are West or West Coast teams playing in the World Series, if that is one reason why it seems to be, less important to people on the East Coast.
Well, remember, Houston is not exactly a West Coast team.
No, but it's a West.
They're in a different time zone. They're in a Central time zone, and the Dodgers are in the Pacific time zone. So you got the problem of games starting a little bit too late in the evenings during the week. And on the weekends, if you've got a 4 o'clock baseball game, which is the earliest they could start in California, it's 1 o'clock. That's usually the time so many of us are sitting or winding down our Sundays and relaxing and watching a little football and, thinking about dinner and the next day and finishing up projects or chores. So, we're all getting busy and we all have stuff to do. So I'm finding that in my life, I love sports. I love reading about it and watching it. But what I find myself doing more and more on the weekends, now that the boating season is over, I have a little bit more time.
But I find myself watching the highlights. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think you're right about games during the week. Even that Thursday night football. I mean, here on the East Coast, it really gets late.
It does.
It was interesting when I went to the Badger football game. They started at 11 o'clock.
In the morning.
That's smart to me, that was a little too early.
Really? Why?
Absolutely.
Why do you say that?
Well, now they don't tailgate in the same way. They do, though. And it's a different party atmosphere. And the interesting thing, and this did not happen when I was at the university a zillion years ago, but the students do not start coming into the stadium until just before the game starts or even after. There's one whole section in the end zone that's students, and it's amazing how many of them were basically coming in, halfway through the first quarter.
Well, now, remember, when you're a college student and it's 11 o'clock on a Sunday, you probably just have one eye open.
Oh, but they were all out there as we walked up to the stadium. There were parties going on starting at 9:30 or, probably even before 9:30 in the morning.
What makes you think those parties were starting at 9:30? They may have gone all night.
They were continuing, but they were there were thousands of students around, but apparently they now have, they now come in as the game is starting or during the first quarter, and many of them leave. Although the fun thing at Wisconsin, and if you ever watch a game, they have what they call the fifth quarter. And I bet you've never heard of the fifth quarter. Well, what happens, it started during the years where Wisconsin was really not good, and they did not have good football teams. So they have a terrific band. I mean, an unbelievably great band. It's probably as difficult, maybe more difficult, for a high school band player to get accepted on the University of Wisconsin band.
Marching band.
As it is for a high school football player to get onto the team. I mean, it's really difficult. But they have a fifth quarter that is so much fun. And most of the fans stay for that fifth quarter. And, they play great songs, they dance, they whatever. And everybody in the stands, great fans. I mean, the one thing that I love going back to Wisconsin, and frankly, I would love watching a game at the Big House in Michigan. In fact, I know somebody that is going out, I think it was either that this past weekend or this next weekend, going out to see that game. And in fact, the other thing I wanted to mention, either on the air or off the air, I guess we have a minute or two, it might be fun during the Christmas holiday to invite anybody from Hunterdon County or Warren County or this area who plays college ball to come in and participate in a program.
I think that would be a great idea.
I know that...
many of our listeners would be interested in finding out just what it's like.
And what it's like. I know that Judge Curry is Warren County judge. His son was a walk-on this year at Penn State, and he is now the punter. So as a walk-on, you know, that's pretty amazing.
That is impressive, isn't it? You don't see a lot of walk-ons.
Well, you don't see a lot of walk-ons who become starters. And, you know, punters, it's a very special talent, obviously. But so that made me start thinking about this, that, you know, once again, you might be able to invite, you know, some of the high school players, some of the college players, especially some of the high school players who are going on to play, you know, college ball next year or are still hoping to do that, because I think that they have a real interesting perspective. So, unfortunately, the one New Jersey young man, Taylor, who plays for Wisconsin, is all the way down in Salem. But maybe we should send you down there one of these days when you're going down to your boat, since Salem is way down, right? I'm not New Jersey, so I don't really know. But to me, Salem is really South Jersey and a small town, from what I understand.
Yeah, Salem is a small town. I haven't been in Salem County in a very long time. And it's almost a little bit like it is so rural. And it looks like Salem County and some of those other counties on the southern Delaware side had been very prosperous at one time, maybe 100 years ago or 70 years ago. And I know they depended on the bay and oyster catching or dragging or whatever it was. And when the oyster blight hit, a lot of those towns were devastated because it killed off all the oysters. There was a virus called VX or MX, and it interfered with the oyster population, and it really crashed for a lot of years. So there was no reason for a lot of those towns to exist. I mean, a lot of people turned to other types of fishing. Just the same thing happened in the Chesapeake. Now, what Rutgers and a number of the other universities are doing is they have created oyster beds, because oysters, as you know, are filter feeders, and they clean the water. That's how they eat. And what happens is that the more oysters you have in the water, the cleaner the water, of course. You've got to control the runoff from your lawn. You've got to control what happens with agricultural fertilizers and things like that. But we've seen a much cleaner Barnegat than we've seen in years. We've seen a much cleaner Atlantic than we've seen in years off Island Beach State Park, and I would imagine also off Long Beach Island, although I didn't get there this summer. So I think our oceans and our estuaries are getting better. I am hopeful that trend continues, because it's just so important. These wetlands and these estuaries are really what feed us, and frankly what can protect us from bad storms and storm surge when we have housing near water. And they're really nature's nurseries for a lot of young animals, birds, fish, game, whatever. So, you know, it's interesting. The marina that I'm at for now 30 years, it seems like an awfully long time, but if you also sometimes seems like a blink. We now see more cranes and herons and egrets than we've ever seen before. And they're all there fishing for the clams and the oysters and the frogs and the small bait fish. And they're just beautiful to watch fly. When an egret begins to spread his or her wings and begins to flap off into the air, just watching them battle their way into the air, it is very exciting to me. The other thing that we have seen are the sea eagles or the fish hawks.
You know what, guys? I think we better chat offline. Bill, say goodbye. It's time to go to the news, and then they'll be picking up with the reruns.
Okay. Well, it looks to me like we're about at 5:50, and it's about time to hit that money button.
I guess, actually, I thought it was 5:59, so I guess I'm sorry, folks. We have
a few more
minutes. So what are you looking to the Eagles to do this next week?
Well, the Eagles are playing the Niners Sunday.
Oh, that's
1
right.
O'clock.
So you're sitting back thinking.
I'm hoping that the Eagles get out ahead, can keep the Niners out of the end zone. I'm hoping for a 35-3 laugher because this is going to show the Eagles are for real. They're not playing a particularly lucky or talented opponent, but as we all know, you can't take any team in the NFL lightly.
So when do they play the Cowboys again?
I think they play the Cowboys either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. It's like
one of the last games of the season.
Yeah, and it's in Philadelphia.
Really important.
It'll be very important, unless, of course, the Eagles are, you know, a light year ahead of everybody else in the NFC
East.
Yeah,
but what are the Cowboys right now? They're not.
Pardon?
The Eagles are
6-1.
And so are the Cowboys, what, are 5-2?
I think the Cowboys are either 5-2 or 5-3. I forget. Or either 5-2
or 5-3.
Maybe they're 5-3. Dallas has had their problems.
No, they couldn't. Would they have played an extra game already? In any event, you know, I really thought that with Dak Prescott, the Cowboys were going to sweep your division this year. And, of course, now in my division, Minnesota, you know, unfortunately because of the Packers, they've lost 3 games now, which is really unfortunate. And, you know, they'll be lucky to break 500 this year. So you're trying to figure out who the
Eagles are playing. Well, you know, Dallas beat the Niners 40-10. And Dallas is 3-3 right now.
Okay.
And next week, the Dallas Cowboys on October 29th are being hosted by the Washington Redskins. It's a 4:25 start, and this could be one of the few times I actually root for the Washington Redskins. Remember, the Redskins are 3-3, just like the Cowboys. The Giants are 1-6.
So why would you root for the Redskins?
Because I always root for whoever's playing Dallas.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't do that since I have, you know, a daughter and a grandson who are, you know, Dallas fans, and you know, they were, needless to say, extremely disappointed that they played the Packers when they played the Packers and that Aaron Rodgers was playing. And I guess a lot of teams would rather be playing the Packers now. But I'm really hoping that, you know, they will pull it out and have an extra week to try to do it. But so what do you have to say about the Patriots? We don't usually like the Patriots.
I'm not a New England Patriots fan.
No, I don't think anyone that we know is.
I like to root for whoever they're playing. And it's always seemed to me that the New England Patriots have sort of been a little bit like the evil empire that John Manfredo always complains about. So, you know, when you have the New England Patriots playing, you have, you know, they would have a chance to win. They're a talented team. They've got great players, particularly their quarterback. But they're getting a little tired and a little shop-worn, I think, and a little maybe they're aging out. I think the next 2 years are really going to be the end of great Patriot teams. I think they have nobody behind Tom Brady that they're nurturing the way that the Jets are with Christian Hardenberg playing behind the very interesting man who has been played for what, 9 teams as quarterback.
Wow, has he played for that many?
I think he's played for either 7 teams or 9 teams.
Wow.
And Jason seems to be a steadying influence in the locker room, just like Muhammad Wilkerson is for the defense, he is for the offense. And Hardenberg is learning more every week. Remember, Hardenberg's job is to play for the practice team. So one week he's Kirk Cousins, another week he might be Dak Prescott, another week he might be trying to run an offense that the Jets can figure out how to counter on defense for any of a number of teams. And he was Carson Long when they last season. So, you know, when you're the number two understudy quarterback, you've got to keep yourself ready to be in the game in case there's an injury or sometimes you have what they call garbage time. Either you're so far behind or you're so far ahead that the coach decides that he wants to give the younger guys who are less experienced 10 or 15 snaps in a couple of series.
You know, frankly,
and that's invaluable.
Frankly, I think they should do that much more often than they do. And I really do. Now, of course, another thing, Aaron Rodgers is on injured reserve, which means he can't play for 8 games.
That's right.
So he is out. I mean, I think there's no question he's out for the season.
Well, broken collarbone.
Yeah. On his throwing arm.
Pardon?
And his throwing arm, that side, the collarbone. But I have to tell you, let me tell you one more story. This I think, true story. And, of course, for people that have never been to Green Bay, you really need to go. You have to go to the stadium. I mean, it's an experience.
It
and
sure
there's nothing
is.
Else in Green Bay. But apparently, and I really liked to hear this story just because I always felt that Favre was not a good mentor to Rodgers. But apparently Rodgers is a really good mentor to Huntley. But Huntley tells a story that one day Rodgers said to him, you want to go to a movie? And he said, where? And Rodgers said, well, you know, here in Green Bay. And Huntley said, well, you can't go to a movie in Green Bay. You'll be inundated. Rodgers says, no. And the two of them went to the movie, and Huntley was just amazed at, you know, everybody was very polite, and they let him alone. And, you know, he just couldn't believe that someone as famous as Aaron Rodgers in a town like Green Bay could go out in any, you know, in the crowd at all. And
I'll tell you my story. John and I and John Parker and another good friend of mine who actually arranged the tickets, Nigel Powell, fly out to Green Bay. And we go to a steakhouse the Saturday night before the game, and it's snowy and cold, and it's 20 degrees. And it's one of those places where you pick your steak and they cook it for you on the grill. And we're having some drinks, and we're sitting next to a bunch of people who were also sitting at the another bunch were sitting at the bar. And when they found out that we had come all the way out from New Jersey to see the Packers play the Bears. And once we got past the what exit jokes or your Eagle fan jokes, we shouldn't even let you into Lambeau, they were so nice to us. They bought us drinks. They told us where to go after the game for meals. They made absolutely sure that we were treated like family members, even though I think they thought of us as more like men from Mars and men from Philadelphia and New Jersey. So I have to tell you, they're probably the most hospitable bunch of football fans I have ever run across, particularly when you come from someplace else. And when you know when you're Eagle fans or Giant fans or in the NFC, in a different division, so of course they're not too crazy about you. And we have a John Manfreda sighting. John Manfreda has entered the room.
5:59.
1 minute to go. So tell us about your 1-5 Giants, John.
Well, there isn't much to say, Bill.
That's why you showed up when you did.
5:59, that's right. But I do have congratulations to you for the great start for the Eagles. And, Pat, I have condolences for you for what appears to be perhaps a season kind of ending injury. But we'll see.